I forgot to run through the lineup for the program this morning. Coming up about an hour from now, Ace Washington reporter Jennifer Rubin. I love Jennifer. She talks at 150 words a minute with gusts up to 220.
Yes, and she doesn't say Washington.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't. She is intellectually well-rounded. She'll be reporting on the Democrats' growing hysteria as everything is just falling apart for them. And coming up in the 8 o'clock hour this morning, the nation's number one pollster, Scott Rasmussen, of the Rasmussen Poll, will be with and amongst us. Here's, by the way, what the nation's top political poll says about the California governor's race. Former CEO of eBay, Meg Whitman, now runs dead even with the likely Democrat nominee, Jerry Brown. The latest Rasmussen survey of likely California voters finds Meg Whitman and Jerry Brown on the town, tied with 43% each, 6% like some other candidate, and 8% are undecided or don't know where they are.
Mm.
And how's our movie star governor doing? Just 26% of voters in California now approve of Schwartz and Kennedy's job performance. 73% disapprove. All right, it's not all his fault. You know, you had to deal with a bunch of lunatics in the state legislature.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anybody is going to say that Arnold has been a rip-roaring success as governor of California. By the way, let's do a little blast from the past here.
All righty.
If you recall the Reagan years, if one homeless person could be found, he would be all over television. His picture would be in the papers as symbolic of an epidemic of homelessness caused, naturally, by President Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I still get emails from people insisting that Ronald Reagan chose to empty California's mental institutions. That's a flat-out bleeping lie. It's simply a lie, which the Democrats, of course, try to perpetuate, but it's a lie.
Sure.
That exodus began under Governor Pat Brown. It was instigated by a law sponsored by a couple of well-meaning Democrats. It's called the Short Doyle Act, with a hyphen in between. State Senator Alan Short, and I interviewed him about it on the air when I first arrived in San Francisco. I said, what is this? And the other legislator, I've forgotten his first name, but his last name was Doyle, the Short Doyle Act, which mandated that people be released from mental institutions. So it began under Pat Brown. It continued under Ronald Reagan and continued further under Jerry Brown. But there are Democrats to this day who will swear up and down it was Ronald Reagan who emptied the mental institutions. Look it up for yourself. I went to the head of the state archives to get a copy of the actual legislation. And I interviewed Senator Alan Short. I think he's dead now, but I interviewed him. And he said, yeah, we passed the law. It was done with the best of intentions, but it didn't turn out that way. It was a Democrat law. But, boy, they'll never admit it. Anyhow, the Short-Doyle, D-O-Y-L-E, Act. Look it up for yourself.
Yeah.
Or tell, you know, any crazed leftist in your circle of acquaintances or neighbors, tell them, look it up. Anyway, speaking of Ronald Reagan and homelessness, oh, his name was attached to homelessness, and I wonder if the news media will dust off any of those old stories and just change the name of the villain to Barack Obama. Because, well, here's the item out of the news. Homelessness in rural and suburban America is straining shelters this winter as the economy founders and joblessness hovers around double digits. Says the Commissioner of Social Services, Suffolk County, Eastern Long Island, we are seeing many families that never before sought government help. We see a spiral in food stamps, heating assistance applications. Medicaid is skyrocketing. It is truly reaching a stage of being alarming. The federal government is again counting the nation's homeless, and by many accounts, the suburban numbers continue to rise, especially for families, women, children, Latinos, and men seeking help for the first time. Some have to be turned away. What? How can this be? Homelessness in the age of Obama? Hope and change, hope and change, hope and change. That wasn't what people voted for, was it? Lack of hope and no change? Surely this must be some kind of horrible hallucination. But how much do you see and hear in the big media now about homelessness?
Oh,
and
nothing.
Then if you were old enough to remember the Reagan era, you will remember how, my God, it was on the evening news every night, pictures on the front pages of papers.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes.
Reagan's
a nation
fault.
Of homeless.
Yeah. Hmm? And with banner headlines, Reagan to blame.
Yeah. Yes, of course, of course. Don't believe anything you get from the big mainstream media. They lie all the time, if not lies of commission, lies of omission to distort the story. It's what they do, and I guess they can't help themselves. All right. Well, let's see if we can gin up some civic or state pride here.
All right.
Okay, Californians, get ready to wave those index fingers proclaiming, we're number one, we're number one. You know, maybe you got one of those foam rubber number one fingers
sure.
at a ball game or something. Well, now's the time to wave it. And here's why. Here's why. ABC News, which is hardly a right-wing news organization.
Hardly.
took a close look at the 50 states, all 50 states, from a variety of economic and demographic factors, including total population, the projected budget deficits for this year, their credit ratings, rates of foreclosure on houses, cost of energy, total outstanding debt, unemployment. And here it is. Get ready to wave those index fingers. California is number one on the list of states in the most financial trouble.
Yes!
We're number one!
We're number one!
Here, this state has been so mismanaged by people elected by voting morons. Mm-hmm. I mean, what else can you say? Here are the main factors they found in the survey. With a fiscal year 2010 budget gap of nearly $52 billion, 56% of the total general budget, California is the poster child of states in a financial mess. It also enjoys the dubious distinction of having the single worst credit rating of any of the 50 states, according to Standard & Poor's, and they're in the bond credit rating business. Add to that an above-the-national-average unemployment rate of 12.4%, one of every eight Californians officially unemployed. Add in the people who've just given up looking for work, so they don't even get counted as unemployed anymore, and you'd be pushing 20%. Add severe political dysfunction. Can that be? California, politically dysfunctional? Who would have thought it? As well as the fact that California, thanks to the environmental nuts, consumes three times more energy than it produces. And as the ABC survey concludes, it becomes painfully clear that the state of California is hurtling toward a very dark place. An energy specialist makes this point. It's revealing and probably not coincidence that the states in the most trouble are the ones that have energy-consuming populations that dwarf the energy those states are able to actually produce. And that describes California, handcuffed as it is by environmentalist crazies, describes the state perfectly.
Jeez.
There it is, in a nutshell, why the state of California is in such, some say, hopeless mess. It's 21 minutes after 6. If you're rubbing your eyes, trying to see us, relax. This is radio.
Yeah.
None of those other vulgar distractions. It's the KSFO morning program. We are here, of course, to fulfill your every media need. Bay Area weather today, partly cloudy, patches of dense morning fog. Look out. Highs in the 60s. Tomorrow showers likely and a little cooler, and looks like we're going to have some dampishness going right into the weekend. In sports, what's the name of the speed skater? Won two gold medals back-to-back?
I'll get it in a second here. Hang on. Speed skating. Got it right here. Speed skating. This is Shani Davis?
That's it. That's it. Yeah. I believe two goals back-to-back. And Lindsey Vonn, the star of the American team, the skier, she won the gold on the Olympic downhill. And let's see. The Giants and Tim Lincecum came to a deal.
Oh, good.
So that won't have to go to arbitration.
Yeah, he'll be a Yankee in 3 years.
Yeah, yeah, 2 year contract. Yeah, and then off to the
then
Yankees.
What? Yeah.
And are the schools closed today? I would think so, because the Warriors actually won a game.
No, that's not fair. That's just cruel.
I know that
perfectly in character.
Just absolutely cruel.
Yes.
Right after 7 o'clock, the Lois Lane of Washington reporters, Jennifer Rubin. Will we have Jennifer Juniper ready for the bumper music? Jennifer, Juniper. Jennifer loves that. She will be with us, and that'll be shortly after 7. And in the 8 o'clock hour, the best pollster in the country with the record to prove it, Scott Rasmussen, comes on the program. Now, a man who only wields his awesome power for good. It's Oscar Vick right here.
By the way, those trying to see us on the radio, let me help you out. Lee Rogers is actually 6'2", 195 pounds.
With solid muscle.
Solid muscle with a six-pack you wouldn't believe. Just hard as rock. I am 4'2", weigh 500 pounds, and have one eye in the middle of my forehead. Just so you have a little mental picture of what
go ahead,
we really
go ahead.
Like.
Sherry's waiting for your description of her. You better be careful now.
I could put it this way.
All right, that covers
it. All right. Major problem here with the weather. It's the dense fog in Northern California, and it affects all of our bridges this morning. So a little extra time on your part. Boulder Creek, Highway 9, the roadway reduced to one lane south of 236. Construction work going on at that location. And we have the usual slowing in the usual places. And out to Sacramento County, dense fog advisory out there on 80 and 5. And Sacramento and Yolo counties, as a matter of fact. So lots of fog all over Northern California this morning. New York Life Insurance Company brings you this. In good times and bad, you can count on New York Life to help keep your family safe and secure. To learn more, visit NewYorkLife.com. And it's OV, Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
You're listening to Lee Rogers on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Yeah, that would be us right here. 28 minutes after 6, Bay Area weather today partly. Patches of dense morning fog, highs in the 60s. Tomorrow showers likely and a little bit cooler. Also in the news this morning, A story that prompts this question is the alliance between big government and big business falling apart because lately global warming doesn't look like the money machine they thought it was going to be. Three, count them, one, two, three big companies quit an influential lobbying group that had focused on shaping legislation about climate change. They figured they were going to get big money out of this. This is the latest sign that support for that cap-and-trade or crap-and-trade legislation is just melting away. The big companies, BP, and ConocoPhillips, and heavy equipment maker Caterpillar Incorporated say they will not renew their membership in this club. The three-year-old U.S. Climate Action Partnership, which was a coalition between business and government environmentalists, and it was supposed to increase support for putting a cap on greenhouse gases and all that other bull bleep that the enviro nuts have been peddling. But, well, too bad, guys. Looks like you business wizards either got sucked in by a gigantic lie or were convinced that the public would stay sucked in. And it ain't working out that way. And the one of the leading promoters, that guy over in Britain who collected all this information, hid all the important stuff, and put out these specious reports about glaciers melting and all of that stuff, has been caught out. The guy is a lying phony, and that was and admits now that there hasn't been any global warming going on since 1995.
Oh, well.
Poor, stupid suckers got sucked into this. Also, we have parental discipline in the news. This comes from Charleroi, Pennsylvania, where a woman was charged with hitting her adult son with a Louisville Slugger baseball bat. Well, at least she used the proper brand. After her son allegedly came home drunk, Linda Newstrom, age 49, kicked her 21-year-old son Jeffrey out of the house because he came home, well, juiced to the eyeballs, yeah, really. And then, as he was gathering his belongings to leave the house, she grabbed and she took a baseball bat to him.
Uh-oh.
And she swung at him twice and missed him, but she hit him on the third try. So she's a 333 hitter.
That's right. Not bad on an 0-2 count.
Yeah, and she said, "I brought him into this world, and I'll take him out of this world."
Yeah, that's right.
Well, what mother hasn't felt the same way?
Well, I think the good news here is it's a good thing she didn't use one of those Barry Bonds maple bats, or it could have shattered and hurt somebody.
And then there's more.
Oh,
there's more.
Came to the end of it. I didn't know.
No, well, that's the end of that story. Ah. But there's more. We have this family relationship story from Tampa, Florida, where a 52-year-old man got into an argument over money with his 77-year-old father, doused him with gasoline, and then tried to set him on fire with the blowtorch. In this case, I think it may be a little late for counseling.
It could be, yeah.
Yes.
Once the gasoline is poured, you know, I think that's an industry standard in psychology. They say once,
go live in, yeah.
Once the gasoline is poured, you're off the couch.
And just go live in separate parts of the world. 6:32, Big Buck will have the opening stock market numbers very shortly. And how is the market opening, Big Buck?
We're losing a few chips right now. We have the Dow down 15 points at 10,294. NASDAQ down 4. The S&P 500 down about 1.5. Crude oil at 78.10 a barrel. That's up 1%. And the yield on the 10-year Treasury note, 3.731%. A couple of new economic reports this morning. Wholesale prices rose almost 1.5% in January due to double-digit increases in gasoline and home heating oil. And another report, The Labor Department said initial jobless claims rose by 31,000 last week. Walmart reported a higher quarterly profit but said sales at its U.S. stores fell. During the holidays, stock at Walmart, part of the Dow average, down 2%. And Hormel, the maker of Spam. Okay. And Dinty Moore Stew says its fiscal first quarter profit increased. It also boosted its full-year earnings outlook. Stock and Hormel up 5%. Just mix around that Dinty Moore, I tell you, you know, and get yourself a hunk of bread and maybe a six-pack, and, you know, you're all set.
Oh, yeah. Breakfast right of there. Champions, I'm
yeah,
telling you.
Absolutely. Once again, the blue chips down now 7, NASDAQ down 4, S&P down a couple of points. I'm Buck McQuillan at the Wall Street Journal on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
You're listening to Lee Rogers on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
22 minutes before 7 o'clock. The L.A. Times political column, it's called Top of the Ticket, has a little reminder for folks with short memories. A recent Washington Post ABC News poll found that 30 months out from the 2012 party presidential nominations, only 71% of Americans believe that Sarah Palin is not qualified to be president. Now, remember, this comes from the Washington Post ABC News poll. But for purposes of comparison, look back at Barack Obama. At the same point in his then, well, unannounced campaign, 0% thought he was qualified to be president of the United States because he wasn't even on the radar polling list at that time, and didn't show up on the polling charts until 24 months before the 2008 elections, just 2 months before his official announcement in Illinois. And even then, he trailed the then presumptive nominee, Hillary Clinton.
What happened?
Trailed Hillary 29% to 22% as the choice for Democrats. And to illustrate just how accurate such polls were back in those medieval days, some guy named Al Gore was the third choice among Democrats then, followed closely by, don't laugh now, John Edwards. The Brecht girl. To think there were a lot of Democrats who wanted him to be president of the United States. And then we have this week's CNN public opinion poll showing that on only his 392nd day in office, a majority of Americans, 52%, have already decided to deny Obama a second term in office, and that's about 980 days away from now. He is a smash flop failure, and people have already figured it out. He's toast, and it's not for no reason that you see all of these Democrats in Congress running for the exit and deciding they're not even going to run again. Because they know that this November is just going to be a colossal train wreck for the Democratic Party. Now, OV, we were talking earlier about expectations for Tiger Woods, who is kind of going semi-public tomorrow. He's going to talk to an invited, select, friendly audience. And there will be no questions.
He's just going to talk at them or something like that.
And as you said, if you're going to do that, why not just put it on your website?
Yeah.
Why go through this charade? Or for our British friends listening, charade. Anyway, he's going to make a statement about his future and presumably about his somewhat embarrassing personal life. ESPN golf reporter Tom Rinaldi says it's anybody's guess whether Tiger's wife will be there with him.
If Elin is there and she does support him in a way where cameras are going to be able to witness that, it's just going to add one more element of theater to what people are going to judge and watch as Woods begins to try to reemerge and reshape his life.
All right, bet up or down. Ovi. Will the lovely Elon be there with the Tiger Man?
Yes.
No.
You don't think so? You don't think it'll be one of those side-by-side, loving wife, I support him, even though he'd done me wrong things?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Hmm.
I could be wrong. I was once.
What, really, once?
Yeah, that was in 1974.
Huh. Mm-hmm. And what was the issue?
I forgot the issue, but I do remember it rained that day.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So you say Elon will be there tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think she's going to hang him out there to sink or swim on his own.
I thought the line on her was that she came from a broken home and she doesn't want that for her kids and by golly, whatever it takes. Even though the Inquirer's headline was that he cheated on her in rehab.
Yeah, while he was in rehab, he was porking some babe. Is that the story?
That's what the Inquirer says. Now, they've been pretty right on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, they have. Just like they were about John Edwards when the big media were determined not to report anything unpleasant about the Democrat. No.
Some of the phrases you won't hear in Tiger's news conference tomorrow will be getting it up and down. You won't hear that phrase.
No.
That's a gimme. Probably won't.
All of these golf terms for people who are not into the game. These are golf terms that could be misinterpreted by the public.
Yes. Yeah. And put your putter back in the bag, I think is another one.
No. Absolutely.
Won't be heard tomorrow.
But no. But thank you for the warning.
It won't be heard at all.
Do you remember any folk remedies that grandparents may have used on you? Do you recall any?
I remember getting Vicks VapoRub put in my nose and rubbed all over my chest during colds.
With a piece of flannel cloth over it?
Yes.
So that your chest would get hot and it would melt the Vicks VapoRub and you would inhale the fumes.
Fumes, exactly right. And and as a child, you had nothing to say about it. It was just done to you.
One of my earliest memories, my paternal grandmother, God rest her soul, wonderful woman, but to protect me against what, I don't know, colds or something like that. Did you ever wear an assafoetida bag around your neck?
Not that I know of. Maybe by a different name?
When I was a little bitty boy, my grandma would hang one of those around my neck. It was foul-smelling stuff.
An herbal thing? Weeds or something like that? What is that word? Assafoetida.
And I don't know how to spell it, but you'll Google it and come back and tell me more than I ever probably wanted to know about it. Anyway, the reason I bring it up. Now, everybody knows the gorgeous poster lady for the U.S. Olympic team is the skier, Lindsey Vonn, who got the gold yesterday in her first race, the big downhill. She has been dealing with an injury on her shin, which was causing her great discomfort, but she went ahead and worked through it and won the gold. You know what she was using to treat her shin? I guess it was a barked shin.
Mm-hmm.
Woof, woof. And cheese. She was putting cheese on it. And, of course, she went out on the slopes and did the job. But our guy Alex, who gets all the good stuff, he's up there in Vancouver covering the Olympics, and he says...
She spent the past week resting her injured shin, even telling fans via Twitter she was putting cheese on her injury to help it heal faster. Whatever it was, it apparently worked. Vonn took the lead early in the downhill event and kept it. Nobody else able to beat her score. The silver also goes to an American, Julia Mancuso from California. Alex Stone, ABC News, Vancouver.
Alex, this is sloppy reporting. I'm sorry. You're a good reporter, but you left out the essential fact. What kind of cheese?
There you go.
You know, you want to go for a nice Gruyere or,
a Brie, perhaps?
A Brie, a wedge of Brie.
Smooths on nicely.
Or are we just talking Velveeta? These things we need to know. There's a lesson for you young aspiring reporters. Never forget to ask about the cheese. The hassling of Toyota continues. U.S. Transportation Department is going to announce a formal investigation into the Toyota Corolla. ABC's Richard Davies says it's coming after reports of steering problems. Mm. Let me say for the record, now, I don't care how this works out one way or the other, and I don't think I have any stock in Toyota, unless it's, you know, some obscure mutual fund or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a Corolla, and frankly, I wouldn't have anything else for just regular run-around type driving. But anyhow, here's Richard Davies with the owner of Government Motors is up to.
Government safety investigators have received more than 160 complaints from Corolla drivers. The investigation involves about 500,000 compact cars, 2009 and 10 Corollas. Some drivers say they felt they were losing control of the car's steering, especially at highway speeds. So far, the number of complaints is small compared to the large number of Corollas on the roads.
Thank you, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of problems with machinery, the federal government says American Eagle, you know, the subsidiary small plane airline used for shorter range flights by American Airlines, although they're using them on longer and longer flights, American Eagle performed, according to the government, improper maintenance on some of its planes. So the government has imposed a big fine on the airline. Lisa Stark has the story.
The problem, repairs to landing gear doors that weren't done by the book, according to the FAA, which says American Eagle then flew more than 1,000 flights with the four planes affected. Ultimately, the carrier removed the doors and repaired them correctly. The airline says there was never a safety issue and that the airplane manufacturer even okayed the initial repair method used to fix the doors. Still, the FAA is proposing a $2.9 million fine. American Eagle will appeal. Lisa Stark, ABC News, Washington.
I was fantasized that Stark was her middle name, but I...
No.
She used to work here in the building.
Good to say.
Very nice lady. Yeah. Very nice and a good reporter. Mm. It's Sherry has no idea what we're talking about. You're so naive. So
yes.
Innocent. So naive, Sherry.
Yes, she is.
It's 10 minutes till 7.
You're waking up with Lee Rogers on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Greg Taylor is a free man. A panel of North Carolina judges agreed with the Innocence Inquiry Commission, which I gather is something unique to North Carolina. The judges agreed there was doubt that Greg Taylor had committed a rape 17 years ago. ABC's Gary Brenner tells us the Innocence Inquiry Commission, the first such body in the entire nation, looks into things that are outside the usual area of courtroom appeals.
The appeals processes are about procedural maneuvers where proper rulings and laws adhere to during trial. But the Innocence Inquiry Commission really addresses the question, did the original jury get it right?
Did the original jury get it right? Well, they decided they hadn't. And no sane person believes that juries are infallible. As a lawyer friend of mine says, remember, if you're ever up in front of a jury, remember, you're dealing with 12 people, many of whom were too stupid to come up with a way to get out of jury duty.
Yeah.
So never forget that. That's not very flattering, I know. To our system of jurisprudence.
Yes, it's not how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, that's but apparently that's common thinking among attorneys. What do we have for the folks trying to get from point A to point B this morning?
Point C, as in Carfax, brings you this. Well, it's the ACE train with no problems to report. BART, no problems. The big deal here this morning is just as yesterday morning. Fog all over the place. Affecting all of the 8 Bay Area bridges and affecting folks trying to get to those bridges. For example, dense fog advisory in effect for all of them. The metering lights on at the Bay Bridge, slow going up the incline as you're heading west on the Bay Bridge. Richmond, 80 westbound before Richmond Parkway, disabled vehicle, the center divide. CHP is going to run, or perhaps is running it right now, a traffic break to get it to the shoulder. Don't waste your cash on a clunker. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report and choose a great used car. Just say, show me the Carfax, or go to Carfax.com. Officer Vic, Hot Talk, 560 KSFO.
You're listening to Lee Rogers on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
The fiery, the volatile Jennifer Rubin will be with us in just a few minutes. In sports, injured shin and all, Lindsey Vonn lived up to expectations, won the Olympic downhill yesterday, beating out her teammate Julia Mancuso, who took silver. It was a big day for the USA. Six medals in all, half of them gold. The U.S. leads in total medals with 14 and in gold medals with 5. Germany is second in the medal count with 10, followed by France with 7. The Giants and Tim Lincecum have avoided salary arbitration. The two-time Cy Young winner gets a 2-year deal worth $23 million. And then, as Ovi says, probably off to the Yankees. The Warriors actually won a game.
Yay!
Beating Sacramento 130-98. C.J. Watson had a career high of 40 points. And Stanford is adding 2 more NFL assistants to its football coaching staff. Ron Turner, offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, and Derek Mason from the Vikings, he'll coach defensive backs, and they'll be joining Stanford's football coaching staff. And that's sports.
Hey, I'm Sean Hannity, and you're listening to Hot Talk 560 KSFO, San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, the Bay Area's talk leader.